I'm sort of stuck in public life, you know, just by being me.
We condemn the persecution of women or religious minorities or people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender.
I've never actually been to the secret meeting where the gays plot their agenda, though I imagine the catering is quite amazing.
This is, again, a demographic of society, gay, lesbian, transgender, who have been pilloried and who have been ostracized and who have been polarized, excluded for so long.
Welcome to the 1,400th edition of This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Chile approaches civil unions, Barack Obama's State of the Union words make history, and Irish actor Colin Farrell supports his brother's marriage equality. Those stories and much more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending January 24th, 2015. Chile's lower house, the Chamber of Deputies, passed a civil unions bill on January 20th by a vote of 86 to 23 with two abstentions. The bill already passed the Senate, but will have to return there for approval of changes made by the lower house that are said to be only of an administrative nature. Heterosexual couples will also have access to civil unions. The bill also allows a civil partner to have custody of a child if the other partner dies. The measure recognizes the foreign civil marriages of same-gender couples as Chilean civil unions. While still vowing to lobby for full marriage equality, the Movement for Homosexual Integration and Liberation, the country's leading LGBT rights group, celebrated the passage of the civil unions bill. Today, Chile made a leap in moral and ethical growth, affirming that there cannot be first and second-class families, the group said in a media statement. Our country is recognizing the great diversity of families and couples existing in the nation that don't want to or cannot contract matrimony. Former President Sebastián Piñera first introduced the civil unions legislation in 2011. Current President Michelle Bachelet has indicated that she wants to sign the bill into law by the end of January.
But lawmakers in the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia voted by a lopsided tally of 72-4 on January 20th to not only deny civil marriage to same-gender couples, but to also make the creation of civil unions much more difficult. The constitutional amendment defines marriage as a life union solely of one woman and one man. A second provision says that legal relations in marriage, family, and civil unions are to be regulated by a law adopted by a two-thirds majority of the total members of parliament. The conservative government of President Jorge Ivanov sponsored the legislation. He's previously claimed that discrimination against lesbian and gay people in his southeastern European nation is a myth. Global human rights groups and LGBT activists immediately condemned passage of the legislation.
Portugal's parliament on January 22nd rejected draft laws for a third time that would have allowed same-gender couples to adopt children, although the margin was smaller than the two previous votes. The ruling right-leaning Social Democrats refused to support similar measures in 2012 and 2013. Portuguese lawmakers approved a marriage equality bill in 2010, but not before a provision was added to expressly ban those couples from adopting children together. Parliament in 2013 narrowly did approve a bill allowing people in same-gender relationships to adopt their partner's biological or adopted children.
A U.S. federal court on January 23rd struck down the state of Alabama's constitutional ban on civil marriage for same-gender couples. U.S. District Judge Callie V. Escranade, an appointee of George W. Bush, found that Alabama marriage laws violate the rights of lesbian and gay couples to due process and equal protection under the U.S. Constitution, and called the state's arguments in support of the ban an irrational way of promoting biological relationships. The judge did not stay her ruling, so same-gender couples were expected to line up for marriage licenses at county clerk's offices across the state as soon as they're open. Mike Lewis, a spokesman for the state attorney general's office, said via email that We expect to ask for a stay of the court's judgment pending the outcome of the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling, which will ultimately decide this case. But the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which would consider Alabama's appeal, denied a similar stay request by officials in another state over which it has jurisdiction, Florida. The Supreme Court then affirmed that denial. Unless or until a stay is issued, Alabama joins 36 other U.S. states and the District of Columbia with marriage equality. Meanwhile, so-called religious freedom bills have been introduced in about a half dozen U.S. states so far. Such legislation would allow the denial of services to LGBT people based on sincerely held religious belief and may be the homophobic right-wing's Hail Mary attempt to blunt marriage equality. LGBT activists call such proposals licenses to discriminate. They're all but certain to be the next major battleground for LGBT equality in the U.S.
Elsewhere, the Egyptian government is reportedly encouraging the country's media to step up its negative coverage of LGBT people. Ibrahim Mansour of the leading Egyptian liberal newspaper Tahrir News told BuzzFeed that the government has issued direct instructions to state-run media to report on sex scandals in order to distract from political stories that expose the government's failings. Sex sells, he said, and it can continue drawing readers when the hot-button political topics are off-limits. Ahmed Rajeb, the editor of the online edition of Al Masri Al Youm, Egypt's largest newspaper, told BuzzFeed that the focus on sex scandals was largely driven by television talk shows chasing audiences while covering permissible subjects. Sex is just the best way to grab eyeballs if politics is off limits, he said. And it also conveniently fits the story that Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi is telling about his quest to make Egypt a moral leader in the region. Mansour added that the regime is claiming that they represent the Arab Spring Revolution, and none of the revolution's demands have been met.
In the latest news from increasingly repressive Russia, government authorities have established new rules for getting film exhibition licenses that critics say could be used to crack down on movies with positive LGBT content. The new regulations say that exhibition licenses will be denied to films that defile the national culture, pose a threat to national unity, and undermine the foundations of the constitutional order. The new rules were supposed to take effect on January 1st, but there were reports this week that they're currently undergoing a review process.
And a Russian court has found the leader of an online support network for LGBT teens guilty of violating the country's infamous law against propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations. Elena Klimova, who founded the Children 404 group, was fined 50,000 rubles, about $775, after Russia's Federal Communications Agency claimed to have received more than 150 complaints about the site. The group's name references the 404 page not found online error, hinting at the isolation experienced by LGBT teens amid rising homophobic sentiment in Russia. The site publishes letters and photos from young people across the country. Most of the pictures obscure the senders' faces, but a common phrase accompanies many of the posts: "We exist." Advocates for LGBT teens say they'll appeal Klimova's case all the way to the European Court of Human Rights if necessary.
In other news, transgender Israelis are no longer required to undergo reassignment surgery to change the gender designation on their ID cards. The country's Supreme Court ordered the Ministry of Interior this week to legally change the gender of two transgender citizens from male to female. One is a lawyer, and the other is an ex-soldier who started transitioning during her compulsory military service. Neither woman wanted to undergo surgery, arguing that the requirement was unreasonable. Both were able to legally change their names, but not their gender. The health ministry was ordered to set the criteria for determining a gender change without surgery and to certify applicants who wish to register an official change.
Turkey's first shelter for transgender women has opened in Istanbul, according to a report in the English language Hürriyet Daily News. Miss I, a transgender woman who says she's a devout Muslim, told the newspaper that she wanted to set up the shelter to help protect other transgender women. She noted that many of her sisters have trouble finding jobs and resort to sex work or other illegal activities to survive. Fundraising efforts for the shelter included a trans fashion show, which raised more than 40,000 liras, almost $19,000. That night I cried, Miss I said. Everything was great. She wants to convert what is now a guest house into a two-floor sheltered house and expand from there. Turkey has the highest number of hate crimes against transgender women in Europe. One study counted 37 who were murdered in the country between 2008 and 2014. While Turkish government reforms last year outlawed hate crimes and discrimination based on race and religion, among other characteristics, they pointedly excluded sexual orientation or gender identity.
And finally, 6 years after he became the first openly transgender mayor in the U.S., Stu Rasmussen, who uses male pronouns, exited Silverton, Oregon City Council last week after losing his reelection bid. He told Portland, Oregon TV station KPTV that a transgender politician is not the headline grabber it used to be.
For a town of 10,000 people to elect a transgender person as their mayor is pretty revolutionary. And we have seen a lot of other things now happening in the transgender community that is coming much more mainstream. It's almost like, oh, okay, no big deal. But honestly, in 2008, it was a big deal.
Rasmussen said he didn't mind leaving what he called a dysfunctional city council.
It seemed like anything that had my authorship or my fingerprints on it was just, it was a problem for the rest of the council, or at least for enough of them to not do it.
But he didn't rule out another political campaign if community members request it.
I'm sort of stuck in public life, you know, just by being me.
That's News Wrap for the week ending January 24th, 2015. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
Updating our News Wrap story, the federal judge who overturned Alabama's ban on civil marriage for same-gender couples on January 23rd issued a 14-day stay of her ruling on January 25th to allow state officials time to appeal. If higher courts don't extend or lift the stay over the next 2 weeks, which District Judge Callie Granate called unlikely, it will expire on February 9th. Meanwhile, the agenda is gay on The Ridiculous and in Ireland, later in the program. U.S. President Barack Obama came out with rhetoric blazing at his 2015 State of the Union address to a joint session of Congress on January 20th. For the first time in history, the words lesbian, bisexual, and most significantly transgender were included in the chief executive's constitutionally required report.
As Americans, we respect human dignity even when we're threatened. That's why we defend free speech and advocate for political prisoners and condemn the persecution of women or religious minorities or people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. We do these things not only because they are the right thing to do, but because ultimately they will make us safer. I still think the cynics are wrong. I still believe that we are one people. I still believe that together we can do great things, even when the odds are long. I believe this because over and over in my 6 years in office, I have seen America at its best. I've watched Americans beat back adversity from the Gulf Coast to the Great Plains, from Midwest assembly lines to the Mid-Atlantic seaboard. I've seen something like gay marriage go from a wedge issue used to drive us apart to a story of freedom across our country, a civil right now legal in states that 7 in 10 Americans call home. I have no more campaigns to run. My only agenda, I know because I won both of them. The My only agenda for the next 2 years is the same as the one I've had since the day I swore an oath on the steps of this Capitol: to do what I believe is best for America. For all our blind spots and shortcomings, we are a people with the strength and generosity of spirit to bridge divides, to unite in common effort, to help our neighbors, whether down the street or on the other side of the world. I want future generations to know that we are a people who see our differences as a great gift, that we're a people who value the dignity and worth of every citizen, man and woman, young and old, black and white, Latino, Asian, immigrant, Native American, gay, straight, Americans with mental illness or physical disability. Everybody matters. I want them to grow up in a country that shows the world what we still know to be true, that we are still more than a collection of red states and blue states, that we are the United States of America.
Those were the clearest highlights and definitely one of the best ever off-the-cuff comments from U.S. President Barack Obama's State of the Union address.
Extra, read all about it. Extra.
Have you checked our website lately? For now playing information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to thiswayout.org.
CNN News anchor Anderson Cooper added his own response to being called out by the same Christian right columnists who attacked the gay agenda promoted by Ellen DeGeneres on her TV talk show. Of course, in the context of Cooper's hard news program, there was only one place for Larry Tomczak's accusations.
Time now for The Ridiculous, and tonight I'd like to address something sometimes referred to as the gay agenda. Now, I've never actually been to the secret meeting where the gays plot their agenda, though I imagine the catering is quite amazing. But thanks to someone named Larry Tomczak, my eyes have been opened. Larry says there's an avalanche sweeping across our society today. It's not a trickle, it's a tsunami. The mixed metaphor, by the way, is all Larry's. In an op-ed for the Christian Post, he writes, and I quote, "The indoctrination and propaganda coming from those advocating a gay lifestyle in our country, classrooms, and culture are increasing. All of us need to take note and take action to guard those we love. We are being bombarded." You can tell Larry is being serious because the B's are capitalized. Now, look, I don't know what a gay lifestyle is, just like I don't know what a straight lifestyle is. Seems like all the gay people I know, just like all the straight people I know, live all different kinds of lives. I know gay police officers and doctors, gay Marines and ministers, even a couple of gay TV news anchors, believe it or not. And all the ones I know just want to be able to live their lives with the same kind of rights and responsibilities as everyone else. Now, Larry says that indecent behavior is being conveyed to unsuspecting children and points to the fact that both Dancing with the Stars and Survivor have had gay contestants, and that Ellen DeGeneres celebrates her marriage. And yes, by the way, he puts marriage in quotation marks. Ellen talked about other examples on her show recently.
He says that Glee has over five characters. Modern Family had a gay wedding. Anderson Cooper boasts about his homosexuality. If you ask me, Larry's watching a lot of gay TV.
That's right. I'm in there as well, me and my constant boasting. Larry Tomczak has a solution for avoiding this gay problem. He recommends that parents turn off the TV and turn on the DVD player so their kids can watch wholesome shows like I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver. Those were the good old days when gay people could be arrested for going to a bar, fired from their jobs, which actually they still can in many states, and live life largely in the shadows. Good times. Larry may also like the new TLC show all about men who are naturally attracted to other men but decide to marry women anyway. It's called My Husband's Not Gay, and some of the couples were on Good Morning America explaining their very reasonable decisions.
Every time I got to the core of who I am, I knew that I wanted to be married to a woman, and I knew that I wanted children, and I wanted to be a father, and I wanted to be called daddy when I come home.
For the record, there's plenty of gay people who are having kids these days. And by the way, if you're a gay guy who wants to be called daddy, you don't necessarily have to get married to a woman. I'm just saying. There's been a lot of criticism of the show by gay people who feel it supports the notion that somehow gay people can and should change. I feel certainly for anybody who's not happy with who they are. The guys on this show insist they have regular marriages and do regular guy things like go shopping together. They also insist they can have attraction towards their wives, even though they are naturally inclined to be attracted toward men. I'll let them explain.
You could say I'm oriented toward donuts, And if I was being true to myself, I would eat donuts a lot more than I eat donuts. But am I miserable? Am I lonely? Am I denying myself because I don't eat donuts as much as I might like to eat donuts? I'm not.
Yeah. Not gay. Look, the point is gay people are more visible today. And while that makes Larry uncomfortable, so much so that he, as Ellen points out, spends a lot of his time watching and thinking about gay people, I'm not sure turning back the clock or the TV dial is the solution. But look, Larry, don't worry. When you're up late at night thinking about what gay people are doing, then I'm sure you can always find a good rerun to watch somewhere on The Ridiculist.
That was CNN's Anderson Cooper.
I'm Stephen Fry. The great Oscar Wilde once said, "The only sin is stupidity." That is why it is imperative that we stay as informed as possible. An excellent way to do this is to listen to This Way Out, the international radio program for all our sexually diverse communities.
Ireland's voters will decide in May whether marriage equality should be the law of the land. Actor and straight ally Colin Farrell explained why he's his brother's keeper during an interview this week on Irish public broadcaster RTE's Claire Byrne Live.
Colin, will you start by telling me why you're getting involved in the Irish same-sex marriage debate?
I have no choice. My brother roped me in. I'm joking. I found out my brother was gay when I was about 9 years of age, and I never found it to be anything other than just the way he was. I never thought of it in terms of any unnaturalness or any such thing. And I've seen my brother go through a lot. I've seen him be at the tail end of the whip of intolerance many times through his life. And they are his battles, and they are his wounds, and they are his traumas. But bearing witness to them at close quarters, of course, caring for him as much as I do had an effect on me. So with what is coming up now in Ireland's very near future, the referendum in May, it's a really important issue.
Tell me more about Eamon and about his story.
Eamon was sent to, you know, a fairly tough school in Dublin, and he was anything but tough. He told my mother he was gay, I think, when he was 10 or 11 or 12 or something. It wasn't a lifestyle choice, despite what some people like to promote the idea that it is. There was great hardship that he was experiencing every day in school, and he went to school under great duress. I remember him coming home with blood on his shirt, and he got plenty of beatings, and he got just called names continuously. And you know that old thing about sticks and stones may break our bones, but names will never hurt us, only if that were so true. So he had a very, very, very tough time, a lot of cruelty, like real shameful cruelty that was placed upon him.
Ultimately then, Eamon, Colin, went on and got married in Canada.
He went to Vancouver and they got married, and they've been happily married, I don't know how many years now, maybe 6 years, 7 years. And they have an incredibly successful marriage. They're two incredibly open and strong and honest and, most importantly, kind and compassionate men. And so to see them every day live their lives as a happily married couple is an amazing thing. And to think that they had to leave their own country to do that is sad and disappointing and just grossly unfair, I feel.
Those who are against this referendum being carried say that it undermines the relationship between a man and a woman, because ultimately that relationship, that institution, exists in order to raise children, and it provides children with the natural right to have a mother and a father.
Aren't there same-sex couples in Ireland who are already parents, albeit one is a biological parent and one isn't a biological parent?
Yes.
So same-sex couples are already parents.
In
they
Ireland,
already have
yes.
a family.
Yeah.
So without same-sex marriage being legalized, without the constitution being changed to support this aspect of this demographic of our community, it's the children that are going to be left in the dark if there's a separation. It's the children that won't have the equal rights as the children of straight couples who are married. And look, people can have a go at me, just a little disclaimer, because I don't live at home anymore. But I carry Ireland with me everywhere I go, and I love my country deeply. And so this, outside of just having a personal attachment to it through my care for my brother, This is a really serious thing. As I said, I respect the other side. What you have to understand is that this is, again, a demographic of society, gay, lesbian, transgender, who have been pilloried and who have been ostracized and who have been polarized, excluded for so long that when they get the chance to experience marriage or when they get the chance to experiencing parenthood, it has been kept for them for so long, and it is a God-given human right. And it's too easy for heterosexuals to be parents, if you want the truth. It's too easy. There are too many of us who find it too easy to have a kid, that we don't put the care and attention into planning what the implications of that might be and the responsibilities that that might hold. And too many parents around the world don't parent their kids because it was a five-minute thing and a thing, and there it is. We're talking about Irish society being the best version in any referendum, divorce, same-sex marriage, being the best version of ourselves that we can be.
Well, one of the other arguments is that we already have civil partnership in Ireland, and why do we need to go to the next step?
This is bickering about concepts. This is bickering about dynamics and about, you know, verbiage and wording, same sex, civil partnership, civil marriage. You know, I don't want to say, you know, will you partnership me? I mean, will you partnership me? Will you marry me? It should be a level playing field for everyone. Look, those who are against same-sex marriage, you have your church. You know, there's no calling out for same-sex marriage to ever take place in a church on, you know, the altar of Our Father. That's it. We're talking about, you know, they have that. I can't see how, I'm blind to it. I can't see how it disrupts what's already in place. Change, great change, comes about in moments of uncertainty. It comes about when you're not really sure if you're doing the right thing. There's something saying you might not be, but you follow some deep, compassionate echo in the cavern of your own heart, and you just go for what I see is ultimately a beautiful and a positive change in Ireland. You know, this is my coming out of the closet, as it were, publicly, and saying that I support this vote, you know, with every fibre of my being.
Actor Colin Farrell talking about Ireland's upcoming vote on marriage equality with RTE's Claire Byrne. The exact wording of the referendum calling for a yes or no vote has just been announced. Marriage may be contracted in accordance with law by two persons without distinction as to their sex. Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Sarah Sweeney, Rick Watts, and Stephen Fry contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and our listener supporters for making this program possible. Visit us at thiswayout.org for special offers, portraits of the crew, social media links, and more. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WHUS Stores Connecticut, KALW San Francisco, California, 2ECR Eden, New South Wales, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.